And welcome to the recording for Sunday, the 30th of January. Last Sunday of the month already. Amazing. I hope you're well and I hope you're keeping safe and keeping sane in these really slightly crazy times. The quiz for today, the little puzzly thing that I do, is got six possible, 6 points at the beginning. So for 6 points, I am thinking of a bird that loves eating earthworms. In fact, I've heard that even if there are people around and there are earthworms around, the bird will come to get those earthworms as long as people are not jumping out. Okay, so for 5 points, this bird loves to sing all year round. For 4 points, every continent has a variety of this bird. For 3 points, this bird sings to show its territory and to attract a mate. Okay, I think the last two maybe might do it. For 2 points, this bird puffs up its feathers in winter for insulation to keep warm. And for 1 point, this might be the one that helps you to know which bird it is. It has a red breast and face, and the rest of its body is grey and brown. Did that do it? Did you guess which bird it was I was thinking of? It's a robin. I must say, I think today's clues are a bit difficult. I think it would have been hard for me to know what bird I was thinking of if I hadn't thought of it already. So yeah, a bit hard on that one, but there we go. Okay, we're on parable number 40 out of 46. So we haven't got long to go before we do a massive big quiz of all the parables on one Sunday. And I will do it the same as I've done before, where we've got easy answers and harder answers so that you can enjoy them with your siblings. That day, it'll be all of Ignite 1 and Ignite 2, and the way you can all sit together and listen to the broadcast at the same time. But I'll remind you that closer to the time. So I think we've got another 4 weeks of parables before we get to that. Okay, so today's parable is the parable of the wedding banquet. Right, now, there is another parable about a wedding feast that we see in the Bible, and it's quite important that we don't get the two mixed up. So the parable today that I'm going to read you is from Matthew chapter 22, starting from verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the streets, corners, and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people who could come, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wearing wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Right, okay, so as I say, there is another parable that talks about a wedding feast as well, because banquet and feast and party are all sort of the same thing. This other one, the other story is in Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. And in that one, the man throwing the party is not sort of as horrible. He doesn't sort of say that anybody is going to be killed. They all do end up going to like a hell type of place. But it doesn't mention about his servants being killed in the middle there, which is a bit gruesome. Last week we had a bit of a horrible one, if you remember, the one with the parable of the servants that were out in the field. So sometimes Jesus tells us stories and he wants to get our attention, and these parables are supposed to teach us a heavy and a hard lesson, so we have to pay attention. So if we look at the characters here, the man throwing the feast is God, the master, and the servants that are sent out to give the invitations are the prophets. That the prophets in the Old Testament who told people what God wanted and how God wanted them to behave and all of that. And then and the people that are being called to the party, the people that get the two invitations, are the Jewish nation, because they are God's chosen people and they're the people that he has been preparing heaven for. And heaven is the wedding banquet, is the wedding party, because it says on there that he's preparing it for his son, who is Jesus. And so when everything is ready, this is now God telling people to come into heaven, right? So normally in Jesus's day, people would get two invitations to a wedding or to a party. And I've had this happen in this day and age. Sometimes if people are having a party that is far away, they might send an invitation that is called save the date. I've had that happen when when my cousin was getting married in America, she sent us a save the date invitation. And that was the first invitation. And somebody in England as well, even though he knew I wasn't far away, one of my colleagues was getting married and I got a save the date invitation, just so that I had enough warning so that I put that in my date. And most of the time, these save the date invitations can be up to a year before the actual date of the party. So I got that invitation, I put it in my diary, and I knew that everything else that I had planned had to be around that that date. I couldn't add any other things to that date because I had been told about it with enough notice to save that date. And then closer to the time, then I got another invitation to say, this, you know, remember I told you about that date, it's now coming up, so please do come. And that is what the master did in this story. He then sends out, it says it's a king, isn't it? He sends out the second invitation to say, everything is now ready, so you can now come. And how rude would it be if, having been told over a year in advance of the date, that you'd then turn around and say, oh, no, I'm too busy.
And if you look at the excuses that these people give, there's two people here that we hear the reasons that they say they cannot come to the party. One of them is going to his field, and another one to his business. I mean, the field is not going anywhere. The field is not something that needs to be urgently done now, and can't be put aside for another time. As well, his business, hopefully he might have more than one person who is handling this business. And I know, like in Jesus's day, wedding parties might go on for 3 or 4 days, but surely he could save, sort of like honor the invitation by going, because he had lots of time. So it was really rude not to turn up. And the king was rightly angry, because people were making excuses about why they could not come. And so we have to think, what is the thing that stops us from accepting Jesus as the Lord of our life? What sort of reasons or excuses do we give to think that, to accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior? But if you speak to different people that are Christians now, they might tell you their story about how they became a Christian. And not everybody always goes and accepts God into their life the first time they go to church, or even the second time. For some people, it takes them a long time. And some people say that they want to see that God is really real. I know one guy who said that he wanted to read the whole Bible first. He wanted to see what he was getting into before he made that commitment. And some people might say that, you know, they need to be sure that they are ready to make this commitment so that it's more serious. In my own case, I always went to church. I always believed in God. And when I was a child, I would go to church and I would really sort of enjoy it, and I would take part and I would go to Sunday school. But to make that decision to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I made that proper decision, I would say, when I was 23. So then I knew more about life. I knew what I was leaving behind. I sort of knew what being going to church and living a proper life was like. And I sort of like made that decision knowing that I knew some of the things that the world sort of had to offer, but I decided that I wanted to be a Christian, and I knew what being a Christian was like. So if you speak to different people, most people it takes a while for them to know that they want to give their life to Jesus. So most, as you can see from these guests, they the first invitation to go into the kingdom of heaven, they didn't take it up. And then the second invitation, again, they didn't take it up. And then some of the guests killed the messengers, who are the prophets, or they mistreated them, as the Bible says. But God still showed patience. God still wants people to get into heaven. So he gives them another chance. And we'll find that in life, God gives us lots and lots of chances to come to get into heaven, even if we make a mistake. And the Bible is full of people that make mistakes, full of people that that sort of need a second chance before God, sort of like before they make that final commitment to be a good Christians. And even when we are good Christians, we still make mistakes and we might still sin or do something wrong, but we have to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Right. And then there's this part here where we start looking at how did people get into the kingdom of heaven? What was it that they did that was different to what other people have done? Because we see there's a guy that's here in
the king finds one of the guests who is not wearing the proper wedding clothes. So obviously going to this party was not just a matter of turning up. Turning up was not enough. You had to wear the proper clothes. Otherwise, you would not get into the party. But somehow this guy got into the party without wearing the proper clothes. And this is similar to us thinking that our good works are enough to get us into heaven. And, you know, that's not the case. We cannot just be good people. We have to do it for the right reasons. So really and truly, we have to do what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus tells us that in order to get into heaven, we have to truly turn our life around and repent from doing bad things and start doing good things. We have to have faith in him. And by doing that, by having faith in Jesus, then it'll help us to act well and treat other people well. We have to obey what Jesus says we should do with our lives. And we will find that in the Bible, some of the times, well, the reason why people did not end up getting into the kingdom of God is that they thought just being good was enough. But it's not just about that. You have to have faith in Jesus, and you have to love your enemies. You have to take up the cross, as Jesus called it, and follow him in the things that he tells you to do. And some of the people were not willing to do that. They were saying, oh yes, this is fine. I will believe in God. I will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But when Jesus turned around and told them what they needed to do, then they found it really difficult. Like the guy who had a lot of money, and Jesus told him that for him to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he would have to give all that he had to the poor. And he found that really difficult, and he couldn't follow him. There were some people that when they realized where Jesus lived and how he was living, and he was loving his enemies, he wasn't fighting for everything that he needed. Then they found that really difficult, and they stopped following Jesus. So we have to be ready, and we have to realize that God gives us a second chance, but we have something that we need to do. We can't get into heaven on our own terms, but we have to have faith in God. And having faith in God will lead us to doing the right things for the right reasons. And that means treating people in the right way. The Bible tells us that we will know who the true Christians are by their fruit, by the things that they do. So we would, you know, if somebody is behaving badly towards other people, then that tells us that they're not real Christians, or they haven't taken their faith seriously. So we have to remember that Jesus has given us ways to behave, and we have to behave like that to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because not all the people who accept the invitation will remain in the kingdom of heaven, which is what happened to this guy. The king came and saw that he wasn't properly dressed, and then said, tie him up and, you know, and kick him out, basically. And then he went to a bad place. Because if we believe in heaven, we also have to believe that there's a place called hell for people who do not do what Jesus wants them to do, or Jesus asks them to do. Because remember, the things that Jesus asks us to do, they are not impossible for us to do. They might be hard for us to do, but he gives us the power and the strength to be able to do them. So it's things that we actually can do. And people should really care about what happens to them after they die. Because you cannot expect to live a great life in heaven if you ignore God and you refuse to do what he tells you to do. So, and in heaven, there is no restriction of numbers. There is nothing to say that you know, God is only going to take this many number of people into heaven. Everybody is invited, but some people refuse to go to heaven. Some people wanted to go to heaven, but they refused to do the things that they needed to do to get in. And the Bible tells us that by the time Jesus comes back, everybody would have had a chance to make that choice of going into heaven. And Jesus' banquet that he prepares, this place, Jesus first asked the Jews, because they were God's chosen people. He asked the Jews, but then they refused. They did kill some of the prophets, and they didn't listen to them. And then Jesus gives the Gentiles, people that are not Jews, he gives them a chance. And for Jesus, it didn't matter what life they lived before he calls them in. It didn't matter if they were tax collectors or they were sinners. We talked about that when we were talking about the people that Jesus used to go and have dinner with last week. And we found that Jesus was opening the door to everybody. He was giving everyone a chance to get into heaven. So the question really comes to us, that what are we doing? How are we living our life? Which group of people do we belong to? Do we understand that to enter into heaven, it really depends on keeping our hearts truly focused on God and doing what he says to do with our lives? So we have to do that in order to get into heaven. So another thought-provoking parable, I think, and one that really sort of brings home what God wants us to do and how he wants us to live. And he tells us quite clearly the things that will get us into heaven. So I hope you found that interesting. Stay blessed, and I will see you next week. I will speak to you next week. God bless you. Bye.